Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Audio cut of the day. I have a lot to choose from. It's been a very, very interesting day politically. And then, of course, we got the fires out west. We're going to talk about that here. It's been a little tricky today.
Let's start cutting line this way. And then we're going to take hose to you.
Yeah, a couple of different fires have really been challenging for these crews, but they've done a pretty good job. Meantime, the president's going out there tomorrow. Will he offer relief?
I don't think we should give California anything until they let water flow down into their
state. From the north to the south.
This is a political thing. I don't know what it is.
I went home last night and I started watching the coverage on Fox 11 and some of the stations out there. I've been listening to KNX in Los Angeles as well. And our friend Brian Ping is back with us from KNX, who is a St. Louis native. I have not tracked this for the past 4 hours being on the air and getting ready for the show, so I don't know where you are, but it didn't look very good earlier this morning, Brian.
No, it didn't look great, but thankfully it does not look like the fire is spreading too much more to a point where it's at least threatening the homes or structures. We're talking about the Hughes Fire here, the one we talked about yesterday up in Castaic, which is the northern mountains way north of Los Angeles. There's still a town of 20,000 there, but there is a lake between the fire and the town, and that is acting as kind of a nice block. We did see really towering flames last night, 10 to 30 feet is what I was told. But there's a good thing about that, though. If they're going straight up, it means they're not being pushed by the wind. If it's horizontal and you got flying embers going right in front of you, that's when you worry about a major spread. But if the flames and smoke is allowed to go straight up, that just means it's burning through fresh fuel, if anything. And it only gained about 1,000 acres since about around sunset last night.
But then you had this fire that really started burning out of control near Oxnard. It looked like it was like northeast of Oxnard in Ventura County. So what's the status of that?
Yeah, so far it's just monitoring and maintaining. Right now the winds are not too extreme. There are still red flag conditions, and there are some evacuations in that area. But so far it has not reached a level that we can be too worried about. But, these next 36 hours are critical as we await possible rain to come in on Saturday.
You know, Sue and I were wondering, we still, from, following this from afar, Brian, it's a little tough sometimes to gauge when you say so much contained, 12%, 15% contained. That's confusing to us. Can you put that into a little bit of perspective?
Yeah, it's about laying containment lines. And sometimes if that containment number is not progressing rapidly, doesn't necessarily mean they're not making progress on the fire itself, because the Palisades fire covered such a wide area that they had to go in and make sure that the fires and the spot fires inside that fire zone weren't acting up. So that was the main priority, is protecting certain areas within the fire zones before they concentrate on getting containment lines around, because it's not necessarily threatening life and property at some of its edges. So it's up to 24% containment on this new fire, the Hughes Fire, the one that erupted yesterday. And that is a much more rapid containment than we saw with the Palisades Fire. It was several days stuck at 0% before they were able to get more of a handle on that one.
But I also saw, is technically the Palisades Fire totally contained at this point? Because I thought I saw that wasn't even totally contained.
No, they're still working on that. Right now, it's mostly maintenance inside, and they're not letting certain people back because hazmat situations in there and broken gas lines and things of that nature. But as far as an active fire, it's the threat of it is mostly over. This last round of Santa Ana's that's blowing through today and tomorrow, it's kind of bypassing the Palisade zone. It's got to hit it just right. Thankfully, it's been spared. So it gets down to kind of a technicality almost.
Yeah.
You know, they can't completely declare it 100%, but it's pretty academic at this point. It's just a matter of management and maintenance before everybody back in there.
And of course, one of the things I was watching earlier on some of the coverage from Los Angeles, and Brian, I'm sure KNX has to cover this, the boneheads that are trying to sneak into these neighborhoods and then police have to chase after them and try to get people into captivity. It never ends, does it?
Yeah, and that's another unfortunate part of this whole story. And we have a new district attorney who wants to make a splash. He definitely wants to show everyone who's boss and has been, getting out in the public eye and announcing arrests and charges for people that violate these curfews. They had to put a curfew up from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. every night to prevent against this very type of thing. And it's people who might loot, people who are impersonating firefighters for whatever reason to get in there.
Unbelievable.
But, it's just a whole, it's a whole deal. Anytime you have a disaster in the scale, unfortunately, people are going to try and take advantage.
And what's the latest on the rain forecast?
Looks like we could get some rain as early as Saturday afternoon. Saturday night into Sunday is going to be the main event, so to speak. And looking at possibly a half inch to an inch of rain in places, a lot of mountain snow. So, yeah, we want it and we need it. But there is such a thing as too much of a good thing here, because if it comes down too hard for too long, those burn scars, the areas that where timber and brush have been knocked to the ground, they'll slide right down. It just needs a good push from some rain, from some running water. And that causes a whole other host of problems. So it's, we're waiting for that other shoe to drop whenever we get the fires in mountain areas in the winter before rains come.
Hey, Brian, it's Sue. I'm just wondering, we look at all this footage of just charred everything. And have they started talking about how they're going to handle this rebuilding? I mean, There has to be such demand for every resource, every builder.
Yeah.
I have a hard time comprehending how that's going to happen.
I'm with you.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thank you, Sue.
Yeah, it is going to be an enormous task. But I actually spoke with a city planner in Santa Rosa, which is up in the Bay Area. They had a fire about 6 or 7 years ago, and they were getting some attention down here because it only took them about 3 years to rebuild 80% of the homes that were destroyed then. And he said a big part of that was just cutting a lot of red tape and a lot of jurisdictional hassles and headaches, get everyone on the same page. And he says, it is a daunting task. It might be a little more complicated down where we are, but you'd be surprised when it comes to the rebuilding stage, when the human element comes together and the will to do that. And I think we've seen some of the early signs of that.
But
it's just going to be an enormous task. And we're talking about homes that were in the $3-5 million range in the Palisades. So it will restore some of that character. I mean, the land is always going to be prime, but how's it going to look differently? That's a big question.
So, that also begs the question, well, wait a second, if these aren't required, these you know, red tape? Why do you need them at all? And I know that's something that's going to be discovered, or at least discussed rather, between Gavin Newsom and President Trump. And what's the preview that you're offering for that trip? That's going to happen tomorrow. Is that true? And are they going to meet? Do we know?
Yeah, it looks like there's continued back and forth about that. I don't think it's been nailed down and finalized just yet. But yeah, Mark, you did bring up an interesting point there about, well, you know, if they could just let down the gates of these regulations, why are they there in the first place? You know, Mark, you may be familiar with stories about the California Coastal Commission. They can be rather notorious for throwing up a lot of regulatory hurdles for what can and what can't go in certain areas. And, you know, Governor Newsom announced in the immediate wake of the fires that he will lower some of the regulations, and that got a lot of people saying, well, why were they even there to begin with? So yeah. that will be kind of a legacy of these fires too. It's just like, how much do we really need here? These fires are going to happen more often, and when we find ourselves in this situation again, really what's the use of it?
Well, Brian Ping, St. Louis native, let me make you feel a little bit better. I know it's been stressful out there. When I wake up and when Sue gets up in the morning to do traffic for the morning show, it's going to be 8 degrees here. Eight degrees.
Yeah. I'm looking at these stories of snow way down south and all the cold over there, and I do wonder if it's all interrelated, because the jet stream, I'm not a meteorologist, but you got to think that it all works in concert. You know, there's an imbalance of all the water that's going to other places and that extreme cold. Like, you guys might get blocked from warm weather. We get blocked from all the rain. We just need it to end for you guys. And for us, you need some warmer weather there. We need some rain. Let's get on with it already.
Well, that's true. And then, you know, I mentioned this story earlier, too, which this is maybe a little bit connected from what you're just talking about. Did you hear about the flight from Vegas to London where they topped out at, like, basically a Mach 1.2, where an F-35 tops out at a Mach, you know, 1.6. The damn thing was going like 814 miles an hour because of the jet stream.
I did. That's incredible. Really, can you imagine flying the opposite direction?
Well,
you got to be like how many hours late because of that? Yeah, I don't want to be that.
You're bumping around like crazy. All right, Brian Ping.
I could have flown from there to St. Louis in about an hour and a half. Would have been great.
Right. All right, listen, well, stay safe out there. We appreciate all the help, and have a great weekend.
All right, thank you, Mark. Thanks, guys.
It's realistically a situation where I hope I don't have to talk to him tomorrow, because that's actually good news, right?
Right.
It really, these crews are going to get their due eventually when all this stress is gone. But I'm telling you, for those people who haven't watched something in the last 24 hours in particular with the Hughes fire and with the one in Ventura County, you would have just thought that these were just going to run up and down these hills and take more communities out. But they've created these fire lines. They've used the pink retardant, which, you know, St. Louis is contributing. They've really used water because they've had water, which is something I guess they didn't have 2 weeks ago, but it really has been impressive. But these firefighting crews, they're like 12 on, 12 off, which has got to be just exhausting them right now. Hey, one story before I get to audio cut of the day. Sue, you and I talked about this off the air. We haven't addressed it. We'll talk about it on the roundtable tomorrow, but there was a story in the Post today about the developer of the Armory, and this happened, when was it, in the fall, where we realized that the Armory was closing down?
Yeah, I think that's right.
So the bankruptcy filing from the leader of Green Street Real Estate Ventures, I guess, reveals more than $400 million in debt. You could build a baseball stadium for that. Well, not anymore. You got to pay $1 billion. But you used to be able to build a football or baseball stadium for $400 million.
Yeah, and obviously they have other projects besides the Armory.
Well, that's a good point.
And
right.
But that is so much money. And then I guess personally, one of the guys on there had a lot of money on personal credit cards. I mean, it's just a mess.
So there's been a bunch of lawsuits. The principal, Kevin Morrell, I guess, filed for Chapter 7 in the Eastern District, and you're going to have a trustee that liquidates his shares of the Green Street entities to pay the creditors if they can pay him anything. He had $5.5 million in assets with $432.2 million in debt. I'm not really good at math when it comes to income to debt ratio, but I think that's a little off balance, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right.
63 creditors. It lists personal finance details like $90,000 in credit card debt, $48,000 in monthly expenses, $5,100 for entertainment each month. So here's the thing that is interesting. There's a guy that's quoted by the name of Phil Hulsey. H-U-L-S-E. He's the founder of Green Street. He says Morrell's bankruptcy will not affect the company or its business relationships, and he has no intention of filing for bankruptcy. We intend to be here for the long haul. What does that mean for St. Louis? And then, you know, in the following line where the guy is quoted as saying, we intend to be here for the long haul, the line in the paper is Green Street's fortunes crumbled in just a few years because, look, they were doing some of the things in the Grove and in other parts of the city. They went into St. Louis County with projects and elsewhere. In the Midwest, they were doing apartments and hotels, town center, you know, some of this planning that's going on. They opened the Armory in 2022. They built it as the biggest bar in St. Louis. The pandemic hit. So yep. that didn't help, right? So that disrupted, fair enough. That was a big issue. But they laid off the employees. They owed $1.2 million in real estate taxes across the county and the city. And then you had lawsuits and all these other things. And now, We see the bankruptcy filing. We know that $61.2 million from the Bank of Washington for Green Street's new apartments. What happens to the Bank of Washington? How much do they get back in that, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did they get $0.2 million out of $61.2
million? Yikes.
$59.5 million from real estate investment firm Acre Originator from Atlanta for the Terra at the Grove apartment project. So they owe $59.5 million for that. $35 million from Wells Fargo commercial mortgage in 2019. You know, when you think about this, Sue, I pay my credit card bills, okay? Mm-hmm. I have a mortgage as well that I pay. Man, how much more are we all paying to Wells Fargo and these other banks because of guy and the rest that can't pay their bills? That's that would be one question
yes,
I would have, right?
Yes, it would. And who approved all these loans?
Let's see here. I want to see if it says banks comprise the majority of the creditors.
Uh-huh.
One is Festus-based Midwest Regional Bank. That's a local bank,
oh,
right?
It is.
They have 11 claims, 11 separate claims totaling $20 million, including $1.3 million that it loaned a Green Street company last year for a different industrial project in North St. Louis. But it says there are 17 companies and individuals whose claims are not backed by collateral, making the likelihood of repayment slim. Yeah, that would make sense, right?
If that's just a bad loan, that's not a good business decision.
But then what happens to because I thought when this all happened with the Armory, maybe it was this guy that's bankrupt. He would say, oh, we're going to move on. This is going to open. But it doesn't seem like the Armory is coming back, is it?
I can't imagine with all that.
Well, so then what happens to that real estate? Do they get a good deal like the AT&T building where it sold for $300 million and somebody picked it up for $3 million? Phew. I'd love to know what's going to happen there. We'll talk about it on the roundtable tomorrow. Audio cut of the day coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.